This is All Things Considered on KNKX. I'm Ed Ronco. Let's meet Lance Little. He is in charge of SeaTac Airport, and from his office, you get a sweeping view of the dozens of planes parked at gates or streaking into the air. But they are tiny in comparison to a new bridge that connects the international gates to the new arrivals facility, where passengers will retrieve luggage and go through customs after getting off international flights. The bridge sits 85 feet in the air, it crosses a taxiway, and it looks like something NASA might have designed. It's also a symbol of the growth Little has presided over. He came to SeaTac at the beginning of 2016, and he told me that the airport must keep pace with the surrounding region.
The region has been growing tremendously, and of course the growth at the airport is a reflection of that growth that's taken place within the region. And one of the things that we have to do is to ensure that we do not become the bottleneck to the growth within the region.
You've been in management roles at airports in Houston and Atlanta. Compare those facilities or your work there to what it's like to work here.
Well, Atlanta, which was the busiest airport in the world, basically had to do the same thing. They had to build a fifth runway while I was there. We had to build an international terminal while I was there to continue to keep pace with the growth. There's tremendous growth that took place there after the 1996 Olympics. In Houston, one of the big differences in Houston is Houston has space. Here we're on 2,600 acres. IAH airport is 10,000 acres. We have far more traffic here at this airport. So we have to be extremely efficient. We have to plan and design our facilities to almost precision because we just can't afford to make a mistake here.
The airport's up on a plateau, so this is almost like an aircraft carrier. I mean, you have a flight deck, and you can't go beyond where the land drops off.
Exactly. We have a footprint that we're operating in. We're not going to be building any more runways. So all the expansion that we're doing has to take place within that footprint, take place within that aircraft carrier. We can't. If we go off, we're in the water.
The airport has its own growth, but there's aviation growth happening outside of SeaTac Airport. Payne Field has added commercial flights, and there's been a commission formed to come up with a site for a new airport in the Seattle metropolitan area somewhere. Is that competition for SeaTac or is it relief?
Well, it's some form of relief, but not much. For example, Payne Field has the number of gates that they have. If they are operating extremely efficiently, they'll probably get up to 500,000, maybe 600,000 passengers, depending on how efficient they are. We're at 51.8 million passengers. So it's just really a little bit of relief, especially for the people on the north side. On the other hand, as you mentioned, there is an initiative to look at, you know, the next airport within this region, which at some point in time we are going to max out. And so we're working with the Puget Sound Regional Council that's doing a baseline study for the requirements within this region, but also there's a state mandated study to identify a new site for another airport. And they have a deadline of January 2022, I think, to have that done. So we have a representative participating in those two events. So we're not leading it, but we're a major stakeholder in that. And we actually welcome the study to look at a third airport, because at some point in time, our airport will reach maximum capacity.
As you grow, you're surrounded by, of course, communities, and you're not leaving that footprint so much, but SeaTac and Burien and other communities around the airport are still affected by what happens here. How does the Port of Seattle, how does SeaTac Airport consider those communities in its plans?
So that's actually one of the biggest challenges that we have, is to find that balance. As I said, one of the things we need to do is to make sure we keep pace with the growth that's taking place in the region and not becoming the bottleneck. Equally, we have to ensure that as we grow, we ensure that we address the impacts on our neighboring community. So the communities that are closest to the airport are the ones that are disproportionately impacted by noise, by pollution. We're trying to reduce the impact of late night noise. And so we have actually looked at, we can't mandate it, but we've actually asked, for example, the FAA to look at the number of flights coming in on our third runway between 12 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the morning. And since we have done that, we've actually seen a tremendous reduction. We've also asked the airlines, could you look at not flying between 12 and say 5 in the morning? Or if you have to fly, can you look at actually using a different type of aircraft, a quieter aircraft? Also, we've been partnering with, I think, about 16 of the airlines to develop a strategic plan for sustainable aviation fuel. And that's going to make a big, big difference when it comes to, for example, ultra-fine particulate matter that's emitted from the airplane. So we're working at the state level as well for low-carbon fuel standards similar to the ones that you're seeing in California. So there are lots of things that we're doing to really reduce or to address the impacts that we're having on the communities.
The airport security environment has certainly changed in the last 20 years. Recently, SeaTac became the first airport in the United States to kind of resist airlines' use of facial recognition technology.
So I must have to make a correction first.
We
have not resisted the use of facial recognition. What we want to do is to ensure that the use of facial recognition is done in accordance with certain policies and guidelines that the commission here has established. So we're not resisting the airlines using facial recognition. When facial recognition is used by any entity at the airport, we want to make sure they adhere to these policies. There's privacy issues. There is, you know, issues associated with race, with gender, and we want to ensure that the technology that's being used is used equitably for everybody that's coming through the airport.
So the port commissioners have said, hold on, not quite yet.
Yes, let's just ensure that they've established the guiding principles, which you may have seen, and we're working on a policy right now, which we should complete very shortly.
We talked about the future of the airport and mm-hmm. how you're going to max out at some point. Mm-hmm. As you plan for the future, do you anticipate needing to then scale back in some distant future?
If you look at airport growth and you look at, for example, GDP, it goes through these cycles. There are peaks and valleys, right? And that's what we're going through, a peak right now. And there's going to be a valley somewhere. But if you look at the trend, it continues to grow. One of the things some airports have made a mistake is during the down years, they stop because they get pressure from the airlines. Hey, why are we building this thing? We're in a downturn. And then when you stop, the growth starts again, and you're 2, 3, 4, 5 years behind the curve, as you can see that's happening with our international arrivals facility. One of the cool things about building during a recession is that you can actually get very good prices, and also you're creating jobs. So there are advantages to build when you're in a downturn economy, especially if you're an airport. And it also allows you to kind of catch up because the growth slowed a little bit. It allows you to do some catching up. So we anticipate that there's going to be a downturn at some point in time. Don't know when or what's going to cause it, but it's just part of that cycle that we've seen over the last like 50, 60 years.
Before we go, I have to ask you one more question. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite airport besides this one?
Besides SeaTac? I'd probably say Changi.
Where's that?
In Singapore.
Why?
They have, not only in terms of the aesthetics, the look and the feel, which is what people see first. It's like voted as one of the best airports in the world every single year. And when you go there, you're like, wow, it's just a spectacular airport from the physical infrastructure. But to me, one of the most important thing is it actually works. It's a very efficient airport. You come in on an international flight, and within 10 minutes or less, you've gone through customs and immigration. That's one of my favorite airports in the world, apart from SeaTac, of course, which is number one.
Lance Little, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Lance Little is Managing Director of the Aviation Division of the Port of Seattle.